Let me invite you to take your Bibles and repeat after me. Let me invite you to stand also. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Again, Father, we approach your throne of grace, and you again have heard our declaration. We want to be like Jesus. We ask, Father, that you would give us the courage and the strength to live up to that which we know to your honor and glory. And I want to thank you for being with me today as I bring the message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My subject this morning is how to be a wise steward. Today I'm going to look at, again, the book of James. And we're going to study together the first six verses of chapter 5. You know, many people believe that the Bible teaches that it's wrong to be wealthy. I'm talking about how to be a wise steward. And many people believe that the Bible teaches that it is wrong to be wealthy. They think that the Bible says money is the root of all evil. But the Bible actually says in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. God is not opposed to wealth. In fact, many people in the Bible were extremely wealthy. In our Sabbath school lesson this morning, we talked about Job, and no doubt he was the wealthiest man that was living at that particular time. Abraham, probably a millionaire, billionaire in our terms. David and Solomon both were wealthy men in their time. Hezekiah was a wealthy man. In fact, Hezekiah was so wealthy that he had to build storerooms to put his extra wealth in. Joseph of Arimathea, the man who gave Jesus his tomb, was extremely wealthy. So I want to tell you today that God is not opposed to wealth simply for being wealthy. But God is very much opposed to the misuse and abuse of wealth. He wants us to use our money wisely, no matter how little or how much we have. Well, already I can see on your faces that you're thinking that he's talking about wealth this morning, and it's got absolutely nothing to do with me. But that's not true, dear hearts. You just follow. In New Testament times, there was no such thing as middle class. There was either, you were either rich or you were very poor. You see, the system in which they lived, they allowed the rich people to get richer and the poor people to get poorer. The rich, you see, they tended to manipulate and oppress the poor people who were continually abused. And James lashes out at these individuals and the use of their money. Using the scriptures, we are going to look at the wrong way now we should use our wealth. And just in case you think that you're not wealthy, let me tell you, according to worldly standards, now listen to this, dear hearts. According to worldly standards, if you own an automobile, you are wealthy. If you have more than one change of clothing, you are wealthy. If you own a home, you, by that very fact, you are in the top 5% of the world's wealthiest people. By worldly standards. the very fact that we live in America, we are wealthy. Turn with me in your Bibles to James, the book of James, chapter 5. James chapter 5, the first 6 verses. What a rebuke that James writes. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just, and he does not resist you. In these 6 texts, James mentions 4 common abuses of wealth, and I want to look at these wrong uses of wealth today and how we should avoid them. The first abuse that James talks about is the accumulation of wealth. Look at verses 2 and 3. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you. Accumulation of wealth. It says that you have hoarded wealth in the last days. Now, which is the last days? Maybe it was the last days for these people who were on earth, but I think, whichever generation you're in, you're only going to live so long, and it's last days, isn't it? James says that money is not to be stockpiled. That's what he's talking about when he talks about the accumulation of wealth. Collecting piles of money just for the sake of having it. You see, God wants his money in circulation. God is not against saving money. In fact, he encourages us to save, but he is referring to getting more and more simply for the sake of having more of it. An elderly relative of ours on my mother's side lived in poverty, and this gets pretty close to home. I remember as a boy growing up and seeing Aunt Ann. She dressed in the most raggedy clothes. Their house was always in a shambles. It looked awful. The kids, it was terrible the way she treated her kids. But these kids survived. They were educated. And then they moved off. They left mom alone. As the years went by, it seemed like you saw less and less of Aunt Han. And one day, somebody in the family noticed that she hasn't called, nobody has heard from her or seen her out around. So my uncle went to check on her. He went and knocked on the door, and she didn't come. So he opened the door, and here she was sitting in the chair, and he thought she was asleep. He called her, and there was no response. When he walked across the dimly lit living room, he saw what she was doing just before she had that fatal heart attack. She was counting her money. She had rolls of money 2 to 3 inches in diameter with rubber bands around them. There were thousands of dollars laying in her lap. Some of it was on the floor, and some of it was lined up on the coffee table. And the sad part about it, she didn't have a will. And of course, the state takes over. And the family, I guess, I don't know what happened, but, you know, there were 7 or 8 kids in the family. But they squabbled so much about how they were going to divide that estate and what was going to happen to it. They never got a thing. The lawyers got it all. So let me encourage you. Learn a lesson there, hearts. If you don't have a will, it is best to get one, because our kids are terribly selfish. Get yourself a will. This isn't somebody... My aunt wasn't somebody who saved money for to help them or help her out as she got older. She was hoarding it. Obviously, she was afraid of losing her money, so she wouldn't spend it. In the New Testament times, you could hoard wealth in 3 different ways. You could stockpile it or stockpile food. You could collect clothing, or you could gather precious metals and jewels. You could hoard your wealth in 3 ways. You could stockpile food, you could collect clothing, and you could gather precious metals and jewels. Oftentimes you see pictures of these people, you know, in the Middle East. They wear, you know, the gold and the silver and the chains and the bracelets. They wore all their wealth, you see, on their being. In New Testament times, you were wealthy. You would show it. If you were wealthy, you would show it because you had lots of food, you had many different changes of garments, and you had the precious metal and the jewels. And James speaks about these 3 types of wealth in verses 2 and 3. He says, "Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days." So what James is saying, your food is rotting, the moths have eaten your clothes, and your gold and silver is corroded. Everything you have, your food is spoiled, the moths have eaten your clothing, and your gold and silver is diminishing in value. Luke 12 tells the story of a man who was a hoarder. He was a very successful farmer, and this particular year he had an abundant crop. And he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I will build bigger ones." He didn't think about sharing. He didn't think about giving. He didn't think about keeping his wealth in circulation. It was a selfish use of wealth. He said, "I'm going to hoard it." And James says that is the wrong use of wealth. When it comes to saving, don't hoard it. The second abuse that James writes about is the appropriation of wealth. In verse 4, it says, "Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath." God is not only concerned with what we got, but he's concerned about how we get it. Don't steal it. Don't use dishonest means to rip people off. Another way of ripping people off is simply not paying your debts. You see, in New Testament times, you worked on a daily basis. You didn't have a factory or a job or an office that you went to. You worked on a daily basis. You were hired at the beginning of the day, and at the end of the day, you receive your pay for the amount of money you agreed on with that individual. But the problem was, at the end of the day, if the employer said that he didn't like your work, you went home without being paid. It was to the employer's gain to do things like that, because they not only kept the money, but they got a day's work. And this is what James is criticizing. He says, the workers, those who reap your fields, are crying out against you, and their cries have entered the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. And James is saying that the accumulation of wealth, with the accumulation of wealth, don't hoard it. And in the appropriation of wealth, don't steal it, don't be dishonest. And if you want to take it to our day, dear hearts, don't max out your credit cards and declare bankruptcy. It is stealing. That's the reason America's in the problems that we have today. Do you know that we have more credit card debt than the American government has got? They have, I don't know how many trillion dollars it is we are in debt, but the American people has got more credit card debt than what the government has got. Now, there's something fundamentally wrong in our country, their hearts, if that's what we're teaching, or that's how people are living. And the reason we're in the mess that we're in, it's because of selfishness. And you've heard it all, how the banks lend money so people could buy more house than that they could afford. But after that 3 or 5 year harm is up on their mortgage, then the interest rates goes up. Then they can't afford to live in the house that they purchased. And the banks take them back. And they've taken back so many houses that many of the banks were on the brink of bankruptcy if it wasn't for the American people bailing them out. We're in a mess. The third abuse that James writes about is the allocation of money, how we spend it. The way that we allocate our money or spend our money is very important. Now, folks, there is a principle that you should not forget. 90% of your earnings, 90% of what you make with God's blessing goes further than 100% without His blessings. And I can speak to either one of you here who have been faithful tithe payers through the years. You will testify by God's grace that you have never went hungry. You have never missed something. You have never needed things. God has always taken care of His people who are faithful. The way we allocate our money is very important. The first 10% belongs to whom? Is God. If you're holding it back, what are you doing? You're stealing from Him. And then there's our offerings. Offerings. And I want to tell you, you as a little church are to be commended in that we want to build a new church. And you are, we don't have it in this week's. Here we are. Building pledges, $597 weekly. Do you know that? Four fives is 20, that's $2,000 a month. We must be down this week a little bit. Because usually we've been getting in about $4,000 a month. But the month ain't over yet, is it? That was last week what came in. So you are to be commended in what you have, the responsibility that you have taken on. But folks, as long as we're faithful to God with our tithes and offerings, you will be blessed. You won't go hungry. There's a great blessing for those who honor God by returning their tithes and offerings. James blasts these guys for how they spent their money. In verse 5, James says, "You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter." You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. In the allocation of money, their hearts, don't waste it. We are not to waste our wealth. One of the greatest temptations that we have to face in America is advertising and credit cards. The more money you make, the easier it is to waste it. We tend to say things like, "I am worth it, I can afford it, so why not?" But dear hearts, let me tell you something. Just because you can afford something doesn't mean that you ought to go out and buy it. You know, one of the biggest problems we have, and as this even reaches into the church at times, you're spending your money using credit cards thinking you'll use next month's paycheck to take care of this month's pleasure. We become slaves to money if that's what we're doing. You know, we fought in the Civil War to liberate slavery in the U.S. But you know that the devil is taking us back in bondage today, and we in America are becoming slaves to that almighty dollar. We buy houses that are too big. We buy automobiles that are too big. We buy stuff just for the sake of buying things or keeping up with the Joneses. And we're on such a treadmill that we become slaves to money. Slaves to money. And I want to tell you, the devil don't care. Any way that he can get you to take your focus off God and focus on yourself, it is all right with him. And James is saying, don't waste your money, folks, and it is very easy to do so. James says that in the accumulation of wealth, don't hoard it. In the appropriation of wealth, don't steal it. In the application of wealth, don't waste it. Don't just spend on things and pleasure that don't add up to anything in the end. Folks got so much stuff. Their garages are stuffed full. Their closets are stuffed full. And they go out to town and people are making a fortune because they're storing other people's junk. Some people have got these storage sheds. They got three or four of them down where they can hoard their junk. And when they go through it, they find that I've already got two or three of these things. They don't know what they have, so they go out and buy the same thing all over again. And that deals with the application of our wealth. In verse 6 it says, you have condemned, you have murdered the just, and he does not resist you. The New International Version writes it this way, you have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. You have condemned and ruined innocent men, and they are powerless to stop you. Why? Because they don't have the money for lawyers and courts to settle matters of dispute. And James is talking about that if you have wealth, you have influence. Just like what was happening in New Testament times, it's happening today, isn't it? Evidently, in James' time, you see, the rich, they were buying off the judges. They were circumventing justice. If they wanted to take advantage of some individual, they would take them to court. They would slip the judge a few bills, and they would get their own way. And that's exactly what's happening today. Jesus said, you have condemned and ruined innocent men, and they are powerless to stop you. Even today, a lot of people is using their money to manipulate others. Well, you say, Pastor, I don't manipulate others with my money. But we use our influence, we use our money, and we start with the kids. If you don't do this, you won't get your allowance. It's manipulation.
You keep family members under your thumb because you promised them to do something if they'll do it right. You know, when we were growing up in these little fishing villages in Newfoundland, there was a general store. And it come the spring of the year when the fishermen had to go out, they would go and get all their supplies from the merchant. And at the end of the summer, after it was all said and done, who do you think got the paycheck? The merchant. And right here in America, it was no different. You have heard of company towns, didn't you? Where everybody in the town was in debt to the company and they couldn't move. They were in bondage. Slaves to money. James says you have condemned and ruined innocent men and they are powerless to stop you. We use our money, our influence to manipulate others. Have you ever noticed we don't talk? Those who have, or the haves, they never go and talk to the poor people, especially about financial matters. In fact, Luke chapter 16, verse 8 says that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. You know the parable that Jesus made? You know, this unjust steward? He used his master's money unwisely, and the master figured out what he was doing, and he was going to fire him. And he went to his creditors and he says, how much do you owe me? He says, I owe you 100. Well, he says, write me a check for 50. He went to the next one. And the reason he did it was, he says, I can't dig and I can't do these things. And if my master is going to fire me, I might as well have these people as my friends. At least they'll take me in and care for me. And that's why Jesus, not that he was commending the unjust steward, but he was just showing that they were wiser than the children of light. They recognize, you see, that money is influence. And they use that money to influence people. But it was often for the worst reasons. They used it to manipulate. And Christians ought to recognize that money as influence, they should only use it for good. The point that James is making in the passage is that we should use our influence to help people. James says that we should recognize that wealth is powerful and not abuse it. We are not to hoard it. We are not to waste it. We are not to abuse it. And we are not to use it to manipulate others. The consequence of misused wealth, our hoarded wealth, is going to decay and devalue. Dishonest waste and abuse of your money will cause you to be judged in eternity. So now let me share with you how you are to manage your money. In Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. You put God first. Begin to tithe your money, your 10%, and then give Him some offerings. You will never come up short by His grace. He will guide you. Proverbs 21:10 says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. You know, I've seen people, they nickel and dime themselves in debt. They become slaves from one paycheck to another. They got nothing left. Proverbs 30, verse 24. It says, consider the hemp, how it stores up for the winter. Folks, that's a Bible principle that every one of us should understand and know and practice. And especially we should teach our kids. We have produced a generation of kids that think, you owe me. They don't want to work. They are lazy. And folks, as a result, we will suffer the consequences. The average American saves 4% of his income. The average European saves 16% of his income. The average Japanese person saves 25% of his income. Why do you think we save so little in America? Do you think it might be because we live for today? We think that we are the now generation. I want what I want, and I want it now. I want it whether I can afford it or not. And oftentimes, we use our credit cards to buy what we want today, and we suffer tomorrow because we got to pay for it. God says a wise person saves his money and invests his money. In fact, he invests his money in others. He keeps it in circulation. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let me share with you, I'll move away from the pulpit to say this. This is holy ground, but this is a joke. Fellow died and went to heaven. He arrived in heaven, and there was the angels. And as he looked through the pearly gates, he could see all these beautiful mansions. But over there on one side, it was just a little old shack. It was just real shabby. So as he talked with the angels, he says, "Who owns these?" And he pointed out the different people that are in these mansions. And he says, "Who's that one over there for?" And he says, "That one is for you." And he says, "Why?" Well, he says, "The rest of the people sent their money ahead. You didn't." Folks, lay up your treasures in heaven. Invest it in people. You invest in people when you return your tithe and your offerings. Jesus said, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33. Folks, I don't worry. Donna, don't worry about what we're going to eat tomorrow or today. The Lord has always provided for us. We don't worry about where we're going to live or how we're going to get back and forth from town. The Lord has always taken care of us. And the reason the Lord has taken care of us, I believe, so well is because we have been faithful with our tithe and our offerings. So I have a question for you today in closing. Would you covenant with me by God's grace that you will use your time, your talent, and your treasure to his honor and glory? Would you like to make that covenant with me today? Yes, yes, yes. God bless each one of you.